The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However, you're taking us in this morning. We do appreciate, always appreciate allowing us into your lives each and every morning. Hope we can make it just a touch better, and certainly more than a touch more profitable. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. He's got thoughts on all things betting. Adam Burke will join us. College hoops, baseball, anything under the sun. Well, somebody won a lot of money over there, huh?
I don't even think that, Kel.
Maybe not even that. Maybe there's an incident.
We're still having a good time at Sigma Derby.
And then soccer, Premier League coming up with Paul Carr a little later on the show. My tennis plays, here's the thing. The reason that not making a big deal about tennis right now is, you know the expression and you know the song, It Never Rains in Southern California?
Well, it's raining.
Rained two nights in a row at Indian
Has
Wells.
Has it really?
Yeah. So there's like a logjam of matches still to be played.
Oh, man.
So we had the winning day, the first day, Volinets getting home with the big dog winner against Mira Andreeva. Yesterday, the only thing we had that got completed was the strange in-game bet we made with Rusevori down a set. He did not come through. It was like $3 dog plus. He just got crushed as soon as he got out there. So he lost that set 6-2. So we lost that. But like all the matches we had yesterday, the two matches we had yesterday, those didn't even start. Those are scheduled for today. So again, just to reiterate what those were from yesterday, that was Victoria Tomova as a +125 dog against Sophia Kennan. It was also Hugo Grenier -106 against Alexander Mueller. I do have three more plays. I think they'll get played today because it's beautiful weather, but I don't know. But the three plays are, once again, Katie Volinets, ladies and gentlemen. Katie Volinets. We're going back to the Katie Volinets well. These are all at VSiN.com/picks. I put them out the night before. +180 against Anne Jabeur. Jabeur, obviously a slam finalist multiple times, but she is not in proper form here. Volinets, just like she frustrated a young Mira Andreeva, I have a feeling that she will be able to not frustrate Anne in the same way, but able to sort of exploit Anne's fitness at this point. So Katie Volinets at +180 is the price there. I also took a dog on Yulia Putintseva, who's actually a longer underdog shot than is Volinets. She's +189 against Ekaterina Alexandrova. So Yulia Putintseva at +189. And on the men's side, a favorite, Yuri Lehechka, got him at -130 against Brandon Nakashima. And I'm just going to check to make sure that those are all still playable prices. I think they are because of the backlog of matches, they probably shouldn't have moved that much. Just going to check on the head. Yeah, they're all in pocket because no one's betting anything because the matches are sort of backlogged. So all of those in place. So five that are out there right now. Let us talk boxing. Always a pleasure when this gentleman joins us. Not only is he a Hall of Fame boxing analyst that everybody knows and loves, but one of the original here on VSiN. It's the great Al Bernstein, everybody. Hello on the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Al?
I'm good, Gil. How are you?
Doing very well. I said at the top of the show that I would be embarrassed to ask you about Tyson and Paul, but I just want to get, as a boxing purist, does this upset you at all that this is happening? Does it make you sad at all?
It's funny. I have always contended that the crossover matches and the gimmicky matches are kind of events unto themselves, and of course the one we're going to talk about today in earnest, Ngannou and Joshua, is in its own right kind of a gimmicky match. But the ones involving celebrities and the ones involving different personalities, I've always said they're items unto themselves. I don't think of them as something that's going to impact the sport of boxing in an overall way, even though some people get, have a sense of dread and outrage over them. So I kind of just leave them off to the side as these items of commerce, if you will.
Items of commerce. I like that. Okay. But you did allude to one, which is there's actually a lot of intrigue around this one. This one's legit. This is Francis Ngannou, who, when last we saw him, put up an amazing performance, although in defeat, against Tyson Fury. But he knocked Tyson Fury down in the third round of that match. And here's Ngannou now up against Anthony Joshua. Ngannou is plus 260, Joshua minus 340 as the favorite. How do you see this fight? Which, by the way, I should mention before you even get into it, is today our time because it's in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. So this is tonight. This is today our time.
Yeah, it's fascinating. This fight is so intriguing, you know, as an entity, because of the shocking closeness of the Ngannou fight against Tyson Fury. The fact that Ngannou not only went the distance with Fury, knocked him down, and had many people believe could easily and maybe should have even gotten that decision. We've wondered two things: how much of that performance was due to Ngannou, a great mixed martial artist, being effective as a boxer, and how much was due to Tyson Fury's poor preparation. Well, we're going to find out a lot more about that because Anthony Joshua, obviously one of the top heavyweights in the world, has had plenty of time to prepare for Ngannou and understands, having seen Ngannou against Fury, that this is no walk in the park. And it's a fight in which, for the most part, people feel power will be the difference. That's why, you know, the odds are longer against a decision in this fight, and especially against Ngannou. If somebody's really bold and they want to go after a fascinating wager, it's Ngannou going the distance, and the odds are pretty good there. It's a fight in which they think Ngannou's power might get the job done. But more than that, they also feel like maybe Joshua needs to knock him out so he doesn't get hit with something big.
Yeah, and where, I mean, and generally speaking, because I think you set it up well, right? Like the reaction to the Fury fight with Ngannou was exactly as you couched it. Okay, was it just Fury taking him lightly, and then once he got put to the canvas, he's like, okay, maybe I gotta fight this differently. All of a sudden, he went into defensive fighting. Or was it the greatness of Ngannou, who has always been a quick adapter? So in the end, you like Ngannou to go the distance. You say that's a good bet. But what's your general feeling about making that choice? Which of those things do you think it actually was against Fury?
I think, to be honest, I think it was a little bit of both. Tyson Fury clearly wasn't, he thought of it as an exhibition that it was a great cash grab for him. And I think he was not fully invested in it. And then Francis Ngannou showed a lot more in that fight. And the people I've talked to, because people in MMA that know what a great striker he is, the one thing they said about that fight was that if he was able to hit Fury well enough, he could hurt him, and he actually did do that. So I think it was kind of an equal mixture of both. And what it's done, and this, I wrote an article for Ring Magazine about this about a month ago. It's put Francis Ngannou in the most extraordinary situation because this is only his second boxing match, right? If he wins this boxing match, he is in a position, because Alexander Usyk and Tyson Fury are fighting for the undisputed heavyweight title, it is conceivable that Francis Ngannou would win this match. He could then fight the winner of Usyk Fury and become the undisputed heavyweight champion in his third.
It's amazing.
That is insane. Correct.
Yeah, that's incredible. Well, okay, so Ngannou to go to the distance, but you're not taking a flyer on him to win this, nor are you laying the money with Joshua, if I'm getting that correct. That's a 10-round fight. That's the main fight here from Saudi Arabia. But there is a fight right before that. It is not for the undisputed, but it's the WBO interim heavyweight title match between Zhele Zhang and Joseph Parker. Zhang is minus 230. Parker is plus 180 on the comeback. You do have thoughts here.
Yes. This is a fight that is really fascinating. You know, Zhang beat Joe Joyce twice. And first one an upset, the second one, well, but, you know, wasn't as big an upset, but still shocking. And Joe Joyce beat Anthony, beat Joseph Parker. So, of course, based on that, you would think, oh, well, Zhang should be a big favorite in this fight, and he would be, you know, the prohibitive favorite. Well, he is a favorite, but he's not a prohibitive favorite, for sure. And most of the people view this fight as a pretty close affair. And I think we're going to see some money coming in, and I think it right in this end lending period. And I think a lot of people are going to feel comfortable with Parker as an underdog. And I don't know if those kind of odds make people, because he's not a monstrous underdog, I don't know if they make him super attractive to people, but it's certainly a bet that a lot of people I know are very comfortable with, because they, you know, he just figured out a way to beat Deontay Wilder, Parker, and he's the kind of fighter that you get two kinds of efforts from him. Most of the time you get a really good effort and he finds ways to win. And then once in a while, it's a flat effort from him, and you and then you're kind of left scratching your head. The question is, which one will he give here? I think it's going to be the good effort, and that's going to make him at least a live dog in this fight.
All right, Joseph Parker plus 180. Al, always a pleasure. Thank you so much, and we'll talk soon again.
All right, take care, Gil. Bye-bye.
Al Bernstein, everybody. Hall of Fame boxing announcer. Always a pleasure to have him on. By the way, does a show here in town, too. He sings.
It's wild.
I got to ask him about that. Like, when is the next time you report? I would like to go to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would totally like to go to that. Jason Weingarten's on the other side. That's another legend. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Start your morning with a daily dose of winning strategies, insider tips, and the latest buzz with the free VSiN Daily Newsletter. In today's newsletter,
we've got a lot on tennis and much more over the newsletter. I never pulled off.
Skelly Bidlin, everybody.
Lot on the UAB Temple game.
There you go. Yes, we do have a lot on the UAB Temple game.
Great written up article.
In case you missed that. Really fascinating betting case study and strange line movement case study, written lovingly by the great Bill 80. Get expert analysis and the latest odds delivered straight to your inbox absolutely free. VSiN.com/newsletter. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. And I mean that. This is from, let's see here, Jason H11. He said, lifelong Giants fan, let me help explain to you the Giants' short and long-term plans that you guys were wondering about earlier. They are kind of like, yeah, never mind. That's Jason H11 on the Giants. Brad Billups, how does a bettor stay up to date on games like the UAB Temple betting activity yesterday? Website, possibly? Yes, VSiN.com has all of that betting movement. So throughout the day, you can see how a line changes, and that was obviously completely abnormal. Again, for those who missed it earlier, UAB Temple, I'll give you just by the exact times of this. DraftKings moved from UAB -2.5 to -3 at 11:50 a.m. Eastern, was at -8 by 2:40 p.m. before closing -7.5 by the 7 p.m. tip-off, and UAB wins by 28. This is from Scott. Gil, did I miss the segment with Russian table tennis today? No, not yet. By the way,
yet.
Here's the running count on sports. You ready?
What do you got?
We had picks in. We've talked NFL and NBA, but we haven't had a pick yet. College hoops, UFC, horses, soccer, Oscars, boxing, tennis. So far, we're at 7.
We're at 7.
More to come. More to come. 7. We're trying to set the record today. And then Mike Alvarez, yoga pants, changing moods and saving lives since 1998. Should I tell the yoga pants story real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Quick. 30 seconds. Because we told the story on the Beating the Book podcast years ago. It's just a great case study of the mind of a man. The mind of a man.
Yes, it is.
So my buddy, you've heard this before. Right? My buddy, he impregnated a woman. And he wasn't really happy about it. And he was kind of sad about it because he thought it was, at the time, it was a mistake. And now, listen, here we are more than 10 years later, and he's the happiest, proudest father ever for this young lady.
You said snake there, too. Just, you know, I've gotten a lot of snake things. Mistake, snake, you know.
Did that make a mistake? What did I say?
You misspoke.
Oh, I'm sorry. He thought he made a mistake. Okay, sorry about that. So anyway, he was so distraught about it in the moment when he found out that he had had a child on the way and she was going to have it, that I went out to lunch with him in San Francisco. It's Poker's on Polk Street, window seat. He was so distraught, he started weeping openly, crying. So much so that he put his head down on the table and was crying. And I, as his friend, was like, I don't know what to say to make him feel better. What do you say? It's going to be a blessing. You say all the things, and you know there's nothing going to make him feel better. So I just didn't know how to react. And then he finally stops crying, and his head slowly comes up from the table. And just then, he looks out the window, and he goes, yoga pants. And so I knew my friend would be okay because his mind had gone completely 180 degrees in the other direction. Man. And I'm like, that's what got you in trouble in the first place. Get me my scrambled eggs. It's yoga pants, everybody. Jason Weingarten joins us from Southern California from under a cloud of smoke on the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. How's it going?
Going very well. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I must, Jason, do you want to be the one to tell them or should I? You go ahead. You tell them what happened to you yesterday.
I'm in Twitter jail.
Why are you in Twitter jail?
Because my friend Will Hill, who's actually one of my real life friends, tweeted something about the Pacific game. I don't know if you saw Pacific lost by about 50 points.
I was at the game. Yes.
Oh, I was live betting it because some of the live sites, when it got so out of hand, sometimes live can't price the alt lines quickly on 30, 40 point games. So I just kept live betting it, hoping that, you know, Pacific wasn't going to come back. And after the game, I see Will tweet something, you know, so I don't even know what he tweeted, something about anybody bet Pacific live, Pacific Moneyline live. And I responded, if you bet the Pacific Moneyline live, you should jump into the Pacific Ocean. And I was immediately suspended from Twitter for that.
You imagine all the things people do on Twitter? He got suspended for that.
Yeah, you know, what? You dox people all day, nothing happens, but yeah. Me, I say something to Will, and
you understand that's probably like a bot matter, right? Like that's a
It was instant, so I know it was an automated system or filter, so nothing I can do about it. But I'm on the bench for a week, so enjoy your time without me.
We're all lesser for it. Obviously, we don't want to make light of any such comments. Obviously, Jason didn't mean it in that way, but a bot caught that comment and an automatic week of jail.
Confused, but okay.
Well, because it's a catch-all and it can be missing when an automated system takes that literally, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, we'll welcome your return in a week. How about that? The other thing is you were trying to bet spring training baseball yesterday. And like with tennis at Indian Wells, you got rain in Arizona. Like, we just can't even make bets at this point.
My day yesterday, you know, I really shouldn't complain because I won a really big basketball bet early in the morning. And I really, really shouldn't complain. But yesterday was a lot of minor annoyances, just one after the other all day. And all I wanted to do was watch the Dodgers-Giants game last night. I just wanted to sit down, watch a spring training baseball game. I had a lot of money on the under. It was 0-0 in the third inning, and they called it because of rain. Rain in Phoenix, which never happens. I felt like that suicidal tendency song. All I wanted was a Pepsi. All I wanted was a Pepsi, and they wouldn't give it to me yesterday. It was terrible, Gil. I'm glad it's today now.
Well, if I was a bot, I would have banned you for a week just on that last comment, but I'm not a bot, so you can still come on every day you want. Okay.
All I wanted was a Pepsi.
All you wanted was a Pepsi. All right. You have a play in the Puerto Rico Open. Yes.
Yeah. You know, I got up a little early today to bet some golf, and I saw one of my favorite golfers was making a run toward the top of the leaderboard here in the second round. Mattathias Schmid, if you're familiar with him.
Sure.
He's come close to winning a couple times. I see he's currently first on the leaderboard here in the middle of the second round. Just took the lead here through 17 holes. I got him at 8-1. I hope he breaks through. Puerto Rico Open's always a good chance to get your first career win and get some status on the PGA Tour. So I'll be rooting for him this weekend. I also bet a little bit on Tom McKibben in the South African event. I think it's the Johnson Workwear Open. He's at minus 13, two off the lead right now. I think he's down to 4-1. I played that small. I want to see how he plays this weekend. But yeah, my attention this weekend is mostly on international golf, Hong Kong, South Africa, and Puerto Rico.
That's outstanding. Will you now, I know you, so will you, do you think you'll eventually have a bet on boxing today, on UFC tomorrow? Like, do you anticipate this in your future as well as the events approach?
I know nothing about the UFC card this weekend other than the plays I've seen pop in through accounts. So I couldn't even tell you who's fighting, who's boxing this weekend.
Today, it's a big one. It's a cross. It's what is known as a cross board. It's Francis Ngannou in his second boxing match. He floored Tyson Fury when they fought the first time, and then eventually lost because Fury sort of figured it out. And
yeah,
really, it wasn't figured it out. It's just the fact that the training for boxers versus MMA fighters, like boxers are used to going 10 rounds and MMA fighters aren't necessarily trained for that. So he kind of just sort of lost gas and he didn't really throw enough punches to score enough and Tyson Fury won it. So now it's Ngannou against Anthony Joshua, where Ngannou is again a big dog.
I recall losing money on that Tyson Fury Ngannou fight.
Me
so
too.
I will probably lay off this one. Like I was telling you yesterday, sometimes betting less is better than betting more. So I'll probably just avoid that this weekend.
Yeah. Let's clarify before you go what you mean by that. So Jason had a day yesterday, which again, we're all fortunate when those days come around where you not only win a lot of money, but you win a lot of money in a day where there's still a lot of the day left. And so what was your mental process yesterday with that?
Well, you know, just part of growing up and becoming more of an adult is sometimes you win and you win early in the day and you realize if you just keep betting stuff the rest of the day where you probably have no edge and don't really have any interest other than wanting to bet, you're going to punt a lot of good money back. So I won a nice bet early on the Arch Madness tournament, the Missouri Valley basketball tournament, and I decided that I wouldn't bet as much the rest of the day. And of course,
good
I still ended
you.
Up live betting some basketball. I got Anthony Edwards at the end of that game. I was on the Pacers. But, you know, sometimes betting less is just the way to do it.
Yeah, if we win a lot early in the day and we find ourselves still betting, we do have to ask ourselves, why are we doing this if we're doing that, right? The object is to win.
Because so, it's
good job.
Fun.
Because
it's fun.
Of course.
We all do
that
it.
That is the obvious answer. That's right. Just a nice little PSA from Jason as well. Thank you, Jason. We'll talk soon.
Talk to you later. Have a good weekend.
You too, my man. Adam Burke on the other side. Baseball and college hoops next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, before the tournament tips off, start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. Get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code ANG. Get VSiN Pro access to everything we do for an entire year. That includes our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for every game. Betting systems, premium analysis, and 24/7 video access. Plus our March Mania betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember, though, you must use promo code ANG.
ANG like a numbers game, the fine program you're listening to right now. And if you go over to thevsin.com, you're going to find a lot of good stuff from the great Adam Burke.
Get your first year of VSiN Pro access for only $199. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. We got tweets at Beating the Book. Roger Jones, I was hoping for a falconry update today, but since it's Sports-O-Rama cavalcade, please disregard.
Oh, did you see that tweet from Buddhist Man the other day?
No.
I don't know if he included you or not. He tweeted me. I think he's down hanging out in Mexico, in Cabo or something like that. And another falconry expert, falconer, what do they call it? Whatever they
falconry.
Are.
Falconry. Yeah.
Some dude.
Oh, he's a falconer, is what
falconer,
he is.
Falconer. Is he a person is a falconer?
Yes,
right?
who dabbles in falconry.
Right, yes. There was one on the beach, patrolling the beaches down there. I was like, this is. I gotta figure out how to crack into that business.
You think the win is good?
I really do.
I hear it's very difficult. I think you have to know somebody to get into it. The win.
Probably generations of falconry.
Well, generations. You gotta know somebody. The win, why this comes up is because the win here in Las Vegas had a bird problem at the pool, and so they hired a falconer to shoo them away.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And our deep research revealed that there's like two competing companies in town. Like one's hired to like patrol the whole strip.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. Ed at Underdog You Won. We need a Bitcoin segment today. Hey, that Bitcoin segment aged very well from last week. And again, that got all the stuff we put out that got the most views of anything. The Bitcoin segment we did with Todd Wishnev last week. And everything he said. And again, this isn't about whether you're a Bitcoin evangelist or you don't believe in Bitcoin. It's about the short term math. And it was a beautiful segment. It's on my Twitter, Vegas regular. I got suspended for saying that a player should be cut from the team for lack of effort. Twitter thought that I meant violence. Hilarious. How about that? See, the bots. And then finally, Cashflow Sports. UAB Temple's an odd situation, but North Carolina Central Morgan State on Monday seemed weirder. North Carolina Central takes a big leap from -4 to -8.5, -9 at DraftKings, then gets beat outright by 9, and that line movement result didn't get any attention? Not a big enough margin? Who knows? Maybe integrity is... took a look at that. Maybe it didn't seem in the end after investigating. I don't know what they're investigating, what they're not. But this one yesterday absolutely got flagged. And the aforementioned Adam Burke joins us now. He is the glue that holds this entire operation together to talk any sport under the moon because the man knows everything. He's our senior writer over there at VSiN.com. How you doing, Adam?
I'm good. Have you guys given out any Sigma Derby bets yet today on the show?
No, we have not.
Always bet the 100-1 one. You know that, Adam. Whatever horse number that is.
By the way, Sigma Derby available to be played right now. Nobody's at the table right now. Oh, very rare moment. You want to go Sigma Derby? One of the originals here. Okay, Adam, you do such fine work, obviously. Multiple sports. You're working on baseball. Let me just talk about that real quick because I've often said, and I'll say this with you here, you know how I feel. You have written the greatest baseball previews that have ever existed on planet Earth, and I really mean that. You're just coming off the heels of the American League Central. That includes your hometown Guardians. Give us just a little elevator speech on the Central Division and the Guardians specifically here, if you could.
Yeah, we got about 6.5 minutes left in the segment, so I'll take up all that time talking about my Guardians. First of all, I appreciate the compliment. Thank you so much for that. Look, I mean, the Guardians are going to have an elite starting rotation. The silver lining from last year of not having Shane Bieber for a long portion of the year and really not having Tristan McKenzie at all allowed them to bring up Tanner Bibee, Logan Allen, Gavin Williams, get a look at some of their young arms. And those guys all had varying levels of success. Bibee was actually second in the American League Rookie of the Year voting. So those guys have the potential to take a leap here this season, along with Bieber maybe coming back in form. He went to Driveline Baseball over the offseason. Velo's back, curveball's back, two really good signs for him. I don't know what McKenzie does, and I don't know what this offense does. I mean, Jose Ramirez, Josh Naylor, and Bo Naylor really carry the bulk of this offense, but I've been encouraged by what I've heard in spring training that they've finally realized and understood that making contact for the sake of making contact isn't really that viable of an offensive strategy. You have to drive the baseball. You have to be selective and look for mistakes. They were far and away the worst team in hard hit percentage and barrel percentage last year. They seem to be working on those things. If this offense can make a leap to be something around league average, I think they win this division. If the offense doesn't make that kind of leap, then they probably win, somewhere around 81, 82 games, something like that, because they're a very high floor team, but the ceiling will be defined by what the offense is able to do.
Very nice. Do you subscribe? I'll just ask one follow-up. Jason was on here, Jason Weingarten, earlier this week. He loved Jose Ramirez at 25-1 for MVP. Would you take a flyer on that?
I don't hate it. I certainly don't hate it because, that's a guy, I wrote about this in my preview. Over the last 3 years, in terms of Fangraphs wins above replacement player, he's fourth. Guys like Aaron Judge, Freddie Freeman, the Juan Sotos of the world are the only guys ahead of him. So, he's a player that I don't know if he necessarily gets his due. He's a five-time Gold Glove finalist at a high-value defensive position. And if the Guardians are really actively preaching this pick out some mistakes and drive the ball kind of thing, Jose Ramirez will be the ringleader of that group. And I could see him, getting over 30 home runs, playing Gold Glove caliber defense, stealing bases, doing all the things that he does to create value. I think if you really look at the literal definition of most valuable player, outside of probably Aaron Judge, who now, of course, has Juan Soto next to him, I think Jose Ramirez is the single most valuable position player to his team. I guess Mike Trout probably, but who knows what he'll be like with all the injury concerns. But I think Ramirez is definitely one or two in terms of the most valuable player to his respective team. And I think this could be the year maybe that everybody kind of realizes it.
All right, I lied. One last thing. If I came to you from the future and I said, oh, wow, one of those, you know, perennial also-rans in the Central, looking at you, Royals, looking at you, Tigers, actually bubbled up this year and was a contender, who does it end up being?
So I'll say this. I think both the Guardians and the Tigers at plus 350 are worth really strong consideration to win the division. I think the Twins are a little bit vulnerable. They stayed really healthy last year on the pitching side. I don't know if that'll necessarily be the case here this season. And obviously there's ongoing position player concerns. But the Tigers are fascinating to me. I mean, you know, Tarek Skubal is just gassing dudes in spring training. He looks incredible.
Yep.
You've got Jack Flaherty and Kenta Maeda, two experienced guys that can give them some innings. I really like Reese Olson. For some reason, I can't quit Matt Manning. But the position player group has gotten substantially better for this team. And also, they'll be a better defensive ball club this season, too. So I think Detroit is a team that can make something of a leap here this season. The kids have to keep developing. The kids have to stay healthy because depth is an issue. And I also think that low-key Detroit has a top 10 caliber bullpen that nobody's really talking about. But they should be able to finish off a lot of the games that they're in position to win.
All right, Adam, 11 conference tournaments. Oh, check that. 9 have already started. Today, the Coastal, formerly the Colonial, and the Southern get underway, as does the Summit. We'll have America East, Big Sky, and Southland over the weekend. You got a couple college basketball plays. What do you like?
Yeah, and by the way, over at VSiN.com, we're previewing all 32 conference tournaments. I think I've written 8 of them up so far. Zachary Cohen, Tyler Shoemaker, Matt Eumanns, Wes Reynolds, Mike Somich, JVT, Aaron Moore, all collaborating on that as well. I believe I mentioned Wes Reynolds. If I didn't, sorry, Wes. But we have all those conference tournament previews going up over at VSiN.com. And I actually wrote up a good bit of these conference tournaments that start here today and tomorrow. But as far as a couple of plays I like for today, I thought UT Martin was honestly worth a shot to win the OVC conference tournament. They wind up getting the double bye, being the number 2 seed. They take on Morehead State today. I expected that matchup. They're an 8.5-point dog. I like UT Martin to cover the spread, at least. I thought a money line rollover in these two games was a viable endeavor on them as well. I like the Skyhawks here tonight getting points. And the other one I like, and the article will come out soon over at VSiN.com, I think Belmont beats Northern Iowa today. I think it helps that Belmont was able to play a game yesterday, kind of get their legs under them a little bit. And I think, Northern Iowa is a team that just isn't really as polished offensively as Belmont is. So I do like this Belmont team here. I think that offensively they're really, really good. I think it does help them to have played a game. So I like Belmont here today in kind of a pick'em type situation, and then UT Martin getting 8.5 against Morehead State.
Getting 8.5. You're not sprinkling on UT Martin at all, though, money line?
I probably will. I mean, I'm already looking at that money line rollover anyway, so I'm kind of invested that way. So I don't think I really need to double down on it. I expect that they play Little Rock in the title game, where there'll be a short underdog in that one as well. And, their futures price was plus 380. They're plus 320 at DraftKings today alone. So, another example of why the money line rollover.
That's right.
Definitely something you want to examine as opposed to just taking a futures price, both in conference tournaments and also in the NCAA tournament.
That's right. With potentially two games left, UT Martin is plus 450 in the Ohio Valley Conference market. But as Adam said, the better way to play that, if you do have conviction on that, is to do the rollover money line parlay. Adam, appreciate it as always. We look forward to the next time, sir.
Absolutely. March Madness Primer coming out on Monday over at VSiN.com.
Let's go. We're almost there. Week plus. Adam Burke, everybody, the best in the business. Thank you, Adam. We'll come back. That, by the way, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, I should mention, as well.
That's right.
And we have one more courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Paul Carr, Premier League, the biggest global sporting event in the world, is this weekend. Liverpool and Man City, he'll have thoughts on that and his picks next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5, get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin. I just want to count it up. We set out today to set the record for most sports where we actually have picks on. Now, we talked NFL, but we didn't give a pick out on that. Do you have an NBA play, by the way?
I do. Oh. I do have an NBA.
Okay, what's your NBA?
New Orleans Pelicans tonight taking on the very depleted Philadelphia 76ers, laying 7.5 right now. Played them a few days ago when they were up in Toronto, laying a big number as well against a very depleted Raptors team. That was no problem for these Pelicans that are rolling hot right now. So I'm on Pelicans. This is down to 7.5. This has been a consistent theme this NBA season of me getting a worse number than what it's moves to in the morning. So I laid 8.5 yesterday, down to 7.5.
Okay. And one more clarification. Did Adam Burke give out a baseball player? Kind of, sort of, not really.
No, not really.
Okay. So here are the sports we've given out picks today.
I mean, he's written about, like, you know, the entire league at Visa.com. So go there if you want some leans and plays.
All right. So here are the ones we actually have had picks on the show today. College hoops, UFC, horses, college basketball. Oh, no, I said that twice. Oh, no. See, I tried to already game the game. College basketball, UFC, horses, soccer, the Oscars count. Sorry. Boxing, tennis, golf, NBA. We're at 9.
Boom. We need a 10. We need number 10.
It's funny you should ask.
Right?
We get tweets at Beating the Book.
Got to make it an even 10.
Grissom on X comes through.
Grissom, let's go, baby.
To help get to, he says to 8. To 10 is really what it is. Sports covered on today's show. Let's go to the college baseball diamond. Number 12, Duke is taking on number 1, Wake Forest. I think the wrong team is favored. Pitching is a wash, but Duke has a league high 159 weighted runs created plus compared to Wake Forest's 127. Take Duke plus the money. There's 10.
Boom, let's go.
Thank you, Grissom.
We appreciate it.
By the way, Jamie Leva says, Bidlin School of Falconry. Use promo code ANG for a soaring discount.
Soaring discount? Yeah, like, I wish I had, but again, I think that would require my parents and grandparents and their grandparents to have been Falconers and had already established the school.
Very nice.
Feels like a hard business to break your way into.
Jamie said, great show as always. Have a fantastic weekend. You too. It feels like a nepotism thing.
Yeah. There's a lot of complaints about the industry with that.
I mean, everywhere you turn, people talk falconry nepotism. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Carr is here from the True Media Networks organization and, of course, the host of the Expected Value podcast. He joins us now from the dead center of the country, Topeka, Kansas. How you doing?
I'm good. Been on the road for the last couple of weeks. Good to be back home. Get settled in for a good soccer and Oscars weekend.
Paul joins us on the Progressive guest line from Topeka, coming back from his combine days. Then he was at spring training. I gather by you bringing up the Oscars, you have an Oscars play as well, sir.
Big Oscars fan ever since I won my parents' pool when I was 10 by picking Dances with Wolves to win everything.
That's how it starts.
That's how it starts. So it begins. I do have one play. I like The Creator to win Best Visual Effects. It's plus 130 on DraftKings. It won the Visual Effects Society Award, which is kind of the biggest one beforehand, and some other critics' awards. Godzilla Minus One is the betting favorite, but I think getting plus money on The Creator is really good since it's just in line with all the precursor awards the most. So I have a play on that one.
What's the category again?
Best visual effects.
Best visual effects.
I feel like I'm going to spend 15 more minutes researching this Godzilla Minus One thing because I can't figure out where to watch it, why it's called what it's called. I'm very confused. There's a lot
I've
of Godzilla.
Seen it and
yeah, why minus
I
one? Know,
to be honest, I can't remember the minus one part, to be honest. But it was good. It was in theaters briefly in December. The Creator wasn't as good, but the visual effects were very impressive.
The movie is about Godzilla doing subtraction. It takes a turn that you don't expect.
Didn't see that coming, did you? Yeah,
no. Godzilla, back to school.
Subtraction. Addition's little friend. Okay. Premier League, before we get to your picks, this is the biggest global sporting event of the weekend. And I'm talking obviously about Liverpool and Man City at the top of the Premier League table, separated by 1 point. Liverpool, actually a 1 point lead over Man City, 63 points and 62. There's 11 matches left in the season here, and they play each other. And you, sir, are staying away. Is that what I'm getting?
At least for now. The game is Sunday. Liverpool has a lot of injuries. Mo Salah's probably going to come off the bench, it looks like, but that could change. Yeah, just the Liverpool injury question marks are what I'm not going to make a play for, at least today. If I had to do something now, I would lean towards City plus 130, maybe the draw plus 275. It's always tempting to me when it gets that high. And if you want to make a title play, like this may be the time to do it, because obviously City's around minus 120 at the moment. If they win, that's going to plummet. Liverpool's plus 210. So if you think they can pull something off here, this is probably the time to get in on them.
Wow. And I should mention Arsenal's just 1 point behind Man City. And I always mention the guy at my building who's a big, you know, defeatist Arsenal fan. Oh, he gives them no chance whatsoever of winning this. None.
I mean, if I had to make a title play now, I would probably do Arsenal at that price, because I think their defense is the best unit in the league. I have an Arsenal future, so I'm not running out to play that right now, but I think that would be my play if I had to take something.
What's your number? What's current number?
I think I was plus 550 before the season. It's around plus 350 right now.
You'd play it. Okay. All right. Well, let's get to your three pack of picks. You got a couple tomorrow. You got one on Sunday. It does not involve the Liverpool Man City game. Let's start with tomorrow.
We're going to go with Manchester United's hosting Everton. This looks like, you know, kind of a mismatch if you're looking at the table, where United's in sixth, Everton's in 16th. But again, remember, Everton has a point deduction, which is now only 6 points. It used to be 10, and that's a long, messy story. So Everton would be in 13th, and you get down to like expected goal difference based on, you know, the shots taken and allowed, and Everton is actually ahead of United in that stat in the table. So all that to say, I think Everton is as good or better than United this season. United's also wrecked by injuries right now. Marcus Rashford was great last year playing on the wing. He has to play in the middle. Just they have so many injuries top to bottom of that lineup. Everton's pretty set, pretty healthy. So I like Everton. I took him on the double chance here at minus 105, so you get the win or the draw there.
Win or the draw. That's what double chance means. Everton, double chance, minus 105 at Man U. By the way, I buried the headline. You hit that $3 plus dog the other day, right? Yeah. On the draw.
Plus 350 draw in Champions League. Swept the Premier League last weekend. We're a little bit hot.
Little bit hot. All right. So Everton, double chance at Man U. And then also tomorrow.
Taking over 2.5 goals in Wolverhampton and Fulham, two kind of mid-table teams who they think will be able to get at least a point, ideally three, out of this game. Fulham plays a fairly open game, even on the road. You know, they don't just batten down the hatches. They're bottom three in goals allowed, expected goal difference away from home. Fulham's attack has been good lately. Rodrigo Muniz has been 5 goals in 5 games, I believe. Wolverhampton has some injuries, but I think just the way that Fulham plays, especially on the road, will give Wolves plenty of counterattacking opportunities, which is what they prefer to do. So I expect goals here and played over 2.5 at minus 110.
All right. And then Sunday, you have an outright you like.
Yeah, this is a big one for the top four race. Aston Villa's in fourth, Tottenham's in fifth, trying to lock themselves into Champions League for next season. Tottenham's only 5 points behind with a game in hand, but they've been running hotter than any team in the league this year. Their goal difference is about 14 goals better than the underlying numbers suggest they should be. That's the biggest gap in the league. And Villa is overachieving a little bit maybe themselves, but they've been very good at home. They've won 10 out of 13 games. Ollie Watkins actually has more non-penalty goals than Erling Haaland this year. Haaland's missed 5 games, but we don't have to talk about that. And Tottenham just gives up a lot of chances. Third most shots allowed when they play away from home. I think their road record is flattering to them. They scraped out a few draws they probably shouldn't have. So yeah, this is taking the better team, taking them at home, and getting a decent price on the win at plus 140.
Oh, you're not kidding. This is, you're right. This is massive, because I didn't notice the game in hand. So Aston Villa, fourth place with 55 points, but they've played one extra game, or I should say really Tottenham's played one fewer game, because 27 games is really the norm right now. So Tottenham is 5 points down. But let's say you assume a win, they're really 2 points down with this game happening right here. So, yeah, this could really be a game changer in terms of the Champions League outcome when all is said and done. And then relegation. I mean, this is pretty clear that Burnley and Sheffield United are going to get relegated, right? I mean, 13 points each. And that's really a race between Luton Town versus, I guess, Nottingham Forest, Everton, and those kind of teams. But it looks like Luton Town might be the third.
Yeah, I think Everton's going to be fine. Again, they've been playing well. They have that point deduction.
Yeah.
And yeah, Luton Town scraped out some results lately. They look like they were as doomed as Burnley and Sheffield. I think they're still the betting favorite and still the most likely to go down. So I don't have a play on that, but it's always fun to watch the scrappy team try to survive.
All right, let's review them again. Everton double chance tomorrow at Man U. Remember, that means win or draw. Also tomorrow, Wolverhampton and Fulham. Wouldn't be a Paul Carr segment without a total. He's going over 2.5 goals in that one. And then on Sunday, Aston Villa, big game against Tottenham. He's got Aston Villa winning that at plus 140. Always shop around for the prices. And of course, on Sunday, Liverpool and Man City. What a game that
is. That'll
be
a fun one.
That'll be fun. Paul, thank you. And I know you're glad to be home despite all the wonderful life that you have outside of home.
Appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
At Paul Carr, C-A-R-R on Twitter. True Media Network's and Expected Value Podcast. Kelly, 10 different endeavors.
Hey, it's a number to beat for us going forward.
I don't know if we can beat it.
Well, I think we can.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt Grissom, for throwing in the tent there.
That's right.
We've done all we can do. Gojo and Golic are next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.